السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ، ونشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشہد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمد عبدہ ورسولہ. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي، وقد قال فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and all our sisters listening over the receivers, may Allah تبارک و تعالی make this marriage مقبول. May Allah Ta'ala unite the hearts of husband and wife and give the tawfiq to both parties to fulfill the rights, so that the marriage may be a marriage of peace, harmony, full of blessings, full of barakat, full of rahmat. May Allah Ta'ala make the marriage a means of pious and righteous children coming into the world. On this occasion of nikah, as is customary in this masjid, that generally we speak something about the nikah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared nikah to be his way of life. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, I have mentioned many times, was rahmatul lil alameen, mercy unto mankind, mercy unto the worlds, alameen, all the worlds. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam being a mercy unto all the worlds means that he was a mercy for the rich, for the poor, for the black, for the white, for the weak, for the strong. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was mercy for the creatures, for the animals. It is the month of Rabiul Awwal. We talk about the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So whichever angle you look at it, in whichever direction you look, no matter what scrutiny you put Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life to test, you will find that there was nothing in it but beauty, nothing in it but jamal, kamal, nothing in it but mercy, rahmat. In everything there was nothing but rahmat. Even the jihad, it was nothing but rahmat and mercy. But all these are subjects on its own. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life full of forgiveness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of him taking revenge if anybody had to harm him in his personal capacity. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never ever took revenge. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq and his character, the books of history are filled with it. People are writing volumes and volumes, but they cannot come to an end. It's an ocean. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared marriage also as his way of life. So if it is his way of life, then it must be full of rahmat, full of mercy for everyone, for the rich, for the poor, for the black, for the white, for those living in villages, living in towns, living in cities, wherever they may be living, whatever their condition. All the teachings with regard to marriage, with regard to nikah, will be full of rahmat and mercy. Hazrat Maulana Abraz of Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that there are three things that you will always find in Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam's sunnat and his way of life. That it will be ashal, ajmal, akmal. Ashal means extremely easy. Now how long did this nikah take? A few minutes, not even a few minutes. Some meher is fixed, and in the presence of witnesses, the nikah is undertaken. We have a ready-built crowd on a Jummah occasion, some other namaz. We don't say must make the nikah secretly in front of two witnesses, which has become very, very common these days. And there is no announcement of that nikah, and it is creating so much of havoc and problems in our society that we cannot even understand. There are so many, and I've mentioned on some previous occasion also, because we deal with cases every day of our lives, that there are so many young boys and girls at the schools, at the colleges, at the universities, who are already married. Their parents are not aware that they are married. They learnt one masla of nikah, that you must have two witnesses and give some meher and make nikah, finish. So they've done that, and they're quite happy and satisfied that they are married. Of course, in most of those cases, we know that it's nothing but love relationships which has led to that. And they are young pupils, standard 7, 8, 9, matric, high school and universities and colleges across the board. There are so many of them. Now they are saying that we heard that you must not indulge in sin. So therefore, the best thing to do is make nikah. So 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 18-year-olds, so many are married. Some came to me and asked me to make their nikah. On different occasions, one time three or four of them came together. One said that this is a Christian woman, we want to convert her to Islam and make my nikah. Someone said that I'm at the high school and I'm involved with this woman, make my nikah with this girl. I said, I don't make secret marriages, that's not my policy. You bring your witnesses, you bring your wakil and come to the masjid, we'll make your nikah. So I'm not talking about that kind of secret nikahs. There's great harm in that. But if the occasion is such that there are not many people, you can just get your two witnesses, then we'll say at that time, make the nikah, but announce it, that so-and-so married so-and-so. But looking at the institution itself, that is what I'm talking about, that the institution of nikah itself, extremely simple, ashal, very, very simple and easy. No lavish expenditure required, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen. So therefore, even the poor person, he can make nikah simply, easily, with the payment of some mehr, which is according to Sharia, the person can make nikah. No need for a big hall, no need for a lavish feasting, nothing. Ajmal, very beautiful. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's way of life, very, very beautiful. And akmal, perfect. You will never find any flaw in the teaching of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He was the prophet for all times. And therefore, in his teachings also, you will find perfection. It's just that we are not practicing. Therefore, the non-Muslims do not get an idea of what Islamic nikah is all about. They see us doing exactly the same things that they do. Big halls, lavish weddings, feasting, intermingling, music, and photography, and everything else, exactly as they do. But we say we are fulfilling the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on the one hand is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what about all the haram that we are indulging in? So where can we expect barakat? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave us this beautiful way of that nikah is my sunnah, it is my way of life, and it does not in any way affect your spirituality. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructed the youth and those people who have the ability to marry. They have the financial ability. Again, financial ability does not mean that they can afford a big palace and a big car and they must have a big bank balance. They must be able to maintain, support the wife, the children, find some accommodation, provide food, clothing. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person should marry. He should take the nikah. It will be a protection for him. His eyesight will be protected. The person will protect himself and safeguard himself from indulging in zina, which is the scourge of our society. It is a sickness which is so rampant even in our society now. Every day we hear of the same complaints. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that it will protect the person. If the person after nikah is still not being protected, then it means there's something seriously wrong with his sight. When there's something wrong with our eyes, we say go to the optician. Go to the eye specialist and go and have it checked up. There's something seriously wrong with your sight. So in the same way, if something is seriously wrong with our spiritual sight, then we must go to the spiritual guides and ask them that why is it that after having undertaken nikah, still I can't seem to keep myself away from lustful glances and from indulging in zina. Then they will x-ray us and tell us what our problem is. And most of the time our problem is that we are not staying away from the asbab of zina, from the things that lead to zina, we are not staying away. We are saying bring all the young boys and girls as close as possible together. Let them interact. And when they are interacting, then they are interacting more than what we expected. That is what is happening. When we are employing secretaries in our businesses, then first we look for a very pretty secretary who wears short skirt and comes. And then she sits right in front of us and she's doing our invoices and books and everything else. So then what do you expect after that? When there's going to be seclusion, when there's going to be privacy between man and woman, then the third one is they're going to be shaitan. If the woman is a ghair mahram, she's a stranger. So we are going towards those asbab. Or we are watching plenty of TV, movies, going to such places where the person's passions are excited. So as a result, the person is going towards zina. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the barakat of the person's earnings is taken away when the person indulges in adultery or fornication. And so many other warnings that he has given, there's no time to go into the details. Big empires collapsed when the rulers began to indulge in adultery. Big empires, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took it away. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that it is my way of life. In the Sahadis, in Tirmizi Sharif, there is one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in which he says four things were the sunnat of all the Anbiya. One was al-haya, shame, modesty. See, that was the sunnat of all the Anbiya, all the prophets of the past. There was modesty, there was shame, there was haya. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, when I used to look into the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then in the eyes of my beloved husband's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I used to see that modesty, that shame and that haya, which even the young unmarried women of Madina Sharif did not have in their eyes. So that's the kind of haya I used to see in the eyes of my beloved Rasul. Hazrat Aisha says, this is what I used to see in the eyes of my husband. Can our wife say that in the eyes of my husband I see haya and shame? That when we are taking a drive through West Street and beachfront and all these places where now this is going to be chock-a-block, as they say, in the Easter vacation, all kinds of people will be passing by. Pretty faces will be moving across. Can our wife say that when I look into the eyes of my husband I find nothing but haya and shame? That he lowers his gaze from that which Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are displeased with. Because it's an order and a hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. O my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say to the believers, to the believing men, that they must lower their gaze. Must lower their gaze. And they must protect and safeguard their chastity. They must not indulge in zina. And say to the believing women the same thing. So now can our wife say that when I look into the eyes of my husband, I see nothing but purity in that eye? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wife says that I see nothing but haya. إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. So once this haya and shame and modesty is gone, then we must forget about everything. The person will indulge in anything that you can think of. The worst of sin the person will indulge in when he has got no haya. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba. Afzaluha qawlu la ilaha illallah. Wa adnaha imatatul aza anit tariq. Wal haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. Besides the other things, there's no time to go into explanation. But he says, al-haya, it is a shu'ba, it is a branch of iman. Now look at our lives. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he was going past. And a person came out from the shower, because they had those public showers that time. So he came out from there and he had his, how like we wrap our towels around our bodies after the shower. So he had it wrapped like that around his body, but his knees were showing. The thighs were exposed a little. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi immediately put his hand over his eyes, or he closed his eyes. When he closed his eyes from that scene, accidentally, his glance fell on the thighs of that person. So he closed his eyes. So the person asked, he said, oh, Imam Abu Hanifa, since when did you become blind? He says, since the time that you became shameless, I became blind. When your shame went away, so I had to close my eyes. Now we must look at our lives. Do we have that shame and that modesty that Hazrat Aisha is talking about? Or do we sit with all our whole family, with our young girls and young boys and our mothers and our sisters, and we around the television programs, and then all the filth that is being dished out, we are watching it together. We are quite happy, we are smiling, we are joking, we are laughing, and we are even commenting on those scenes that are coming in front of us. Then we say, Molana, my son is disrespecting me. My daughter has got no respect for me. How will she have respect? that modesty and shame and haya has to be first in our eyes. So he says the first thing was haya. Now on haya we can go on speaking till midnight tonight. So haya, shame and modesty. We must have haya that our Allah is watching us. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, in his sharah of Mishkat Sharif, he says, فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَا أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَحَاكَ. What is the haqiqat of haya? We say shame, shame. What is the haqiqat of this shame? He said, the haqiqat and the reality of this shame is that your Allah, your Creator, your Mawla, He must not find you in those places that He does not want you to be. That is shame. How we say that somebody mustn't see us in this situation. Somebody mustn't catch us in this kind of a situation. Somebody mustn't find us in a compromising situation. We are saying we are ashamed. So the shame must be that Allah who has blessed us with our sight, with our hearing, with our speech, with our wealth, with everything that we possess, it is a gift of that one Allah. We didn't bring it from our mother's stomachs. We did not even know how to care for our own hygiene when we were born. The mother had to change our napkin so many times. That was our reality. We had no intelligence. Who is it that blessed everything? It is Allah. So he says, فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَا is that Allah, now we must not be in such places where He does not want to see us. Does Allah become happy if He has to see us in a disco, in a cinema, in a theater, in a rave club, in the casino? There was somebody that stole some money and then to escape, he knew that these people are a little bit pious people, so they won't search for me in the casino. So he went away to the casino just 2 days ago. These people also traced him, and one whole group went inside to bring him out from there. Now when they went inside, they said the number of Muslims that they saw. Women with scarves and everything. Why? They say, no, we're going to the circus. Now in that circus, are those women properly dressed? And what are they showing? Are the circuses the same like they were 50 years ago? But we are quite happy and comfortable. There's no shame, no haya. We're taking our little children and we're going right into the casino complex. That child whom we are taking today to the circus in that casino complex, tomorrow when he's going to end up playing on those machines, then we must blame ourselves for it. I have come across so many cases, they say, Maulana, we made the biggest mistake. I used to take my children to the casino, and there we should give them a few rands and say, well, you pass your time around here. And just for the fun of it, they used to play. And now they have become addicted to that same vice. So let's have some haya, let's have some shame. How long are we going to talk about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam full of haya, modesty, shame? And yet immediately after our Jummah namaz, we will indulge in the same thing. And especially those who are promoting the deen of Islam, those who are talking about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who are inviting others towards the deen of Islam through whatever media it may be, then we have to be more on guard that what are our actions. What can we do? The time goes so fast. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so they say one of the sunnats of the Anbiya was haya. The second was ta'attur. That every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they applied some kind of ithar, some kind of perfume, which was halal. And there again I explained in some previous talk, that we must not put such strong fragrances that it causes a problem for the people that are standing next to us. So if that is causes sometime a problem, then what about those who smoke and just come into the masjid? What about those wives, what they must be enduring when the husband is a chain smoker? They don't know. The person who smokes, he does not realize what kind of harm and hurt and pain he is causing. And yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala kept our mouths safe even in the mother's stomach, because that blood of the mother, which he passes every month, that became the nourishment of that baby in the stomach. But it was passed through the umbilical cord, through the navel. Allah Ta'ala saved the mouth of the baby, didn't pass the blood through the mouth, so that when this child grows up, then this child's mouth can be remain clean to say Allah, to say Subhanallah, to say Alhamdulillah, to read Durood Sharif upon my beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala protected the mouth even in the stomach. And what do we use our mouths for then? Look at the haram that we speak and all the other haram indulgences. But that tongue was protected, that mouth was protected. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knew that this banda of mine, he will have to say Alhamdulillah any ni'mat of Allah. Somebody will die, he will have to say inna lillah, or some injury and pain, he will have to say inna lillah. The person will have to say subhanallah. The person will have to say mashallah, what a beautiful child you are. Every little while, and the Muslim is a person whose tongue is engaged in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Even when he's talking with his children, with his family, all that is zikrullah if he does it according to the Quran and Sunnah. So ta'attur, siwak, toothstick that they used to use, and then was nikah. That nikah was also the sunnat of all the anbiya. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam also, when he will come down, then he's going to make nikah. So this nikah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that the husband and wife, we have made them like a garment. That they are a garment for each other. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna. Now what is a garment? The garment of a person is the closest to him. The garment is the closest to the body. The garment gives you some kind of zenith, some kind of beauty. The garment protects you from the sun, from the wind, from the rain, and from many other things. In the same way, the husband must be a protection for the wife. The husband must be a protection. And then the wife must be a protection for the husband. Now, if you have to read the rights of wives that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given, and the rights of husbands that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given, if the husband fulfills the rights of the wife, and the wife fulfills the rights of the husband, and instead of demanding, both go out of their way for the fulfillment of those rights, then there will be nothing but peace, harmony, tranquility. There will be enjoyment. There will be unity. At present, every little thing is a major issue. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, when he used to enter the home, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala says, he used to enter with a smile. He used to help out in the things of the house. Great Nabi like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Allah the greatest. Ya sahib al jamal wa ya sayyid al bashar. Min wajhika al munir laqad nuwwira al qamar. And then he says, La yumkinu thana kama kana haqquhu. Ba'das khuda buzruk tuvi qissa mukhtasar. After Allah, you are the greatest, qissa mukhtasar. There's no way that we can do justice to your praises. But now he is helping her to knead the dough, to sweep the house, to milk the goat. Now all these type of things, menial things, what we say. Now who is assisting and helping? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is assisting and helping his wife. Not like us, that we are like wolves and lions in our homes. Outside with our friends, we are like lamb. And we go out of our way. But when it comes to our life with our wives, then at that time, we flare up over little things. Now that is not the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We agree that many a times the wives will be at fault. Many a times. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi should say that if the wife talks to you very nicely, cheerfully, and she congratulates you and compliments you, then you must believe that there's something unusual today. That day you must think it's something unusual. But the day she swears you, curses you, or says that that's all you are, and that is what you are, then that day you must believe that what she's doing is her nature. But of course we are not saying that all women are like that. But most of the times it is the fault of the wives. Or some of the time is the fault of the wives, and sometimes the fault of the husbands. So if both of them have some kind of a compromise, a little bit of give and take, a little bit of overlooking, forgiving, then we will find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make their lives peaceful and a happy one. Go out of your way. Again, there's a new audience, so I can't help but repeating what I advised one cricketer that got married here. Many a times I've mentioned it, and again it just came to mind, that one cricketer, his nikah we performed here in this masjid. He was an Natal cricketer. So I told him, I said, look, you are getting married, so now you must remember that you must not try to bowl out your wife. You must not catch her out. You must not stump her. You must not run her out. Both of you must play on the same side of the team. And then bowl nafs and shaitan out of your lives. Bowl nafs and shaitan out of your lives. Hit them for sixes. When nafs and shaitan bring temptations into the heart to disobey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then hit them for sixes. Then you will find your life will be very peaceful and a happy one. So we conclude, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if you have to look at his whole life, you will find beautiful example, beautiful example. His treatment of his wives, his treatment of his children. He was loved by everybody. Even his enemies loved him at one time. It was only when he invited them towards Islam and Deen, that's when they disliked him. But those same people afterwards, when they accepted Islam, then they were prepared to give their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what is it that attracted everyone towards him? There must have been something in him that attracted everyone and made everyone love him. The children love him, the adults love him, the old ones love him, his wives love him, his children love him, his family members love him. Now can we say everybody likes us? We keep on complaining, nobody likes us, nobody likes us. Why must they not like us? There must be something wrong with us. Why do we always look into the other person's eyes and see what's wrong with him? Look into ourselves, where are we going wrong? So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept this nikah that took place. May Allah unite the hearts of husbands and wives. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless everyone with good health, with long life, with peace, prosperity, happiness. May Allah ta'ala remove all the calamities, disasters, hardships and problems that mankind is suffering around the globe. And especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.